Good, good. All right, sir, I'll see you. All right, everybody doing great? Good. Well, welcome to the internet, those that are watching by internet. Glad to have you. Last week we were together. I began to talk about the tri-type being that we are. If you can remember, I said that our spirits are the king. What our minds were? Servant. Mm-hmm. And what our bodies were? Slaves. So we can get that concept that our spirit is the king. Our mind is the servant, or our soul is the servant. A servant is to be used by the king, right? And the body is the slave. In other words, the body ain't got no wants. The body does what the mind say, because the mind gonna follow what the spirit say. So if we get those three in order and understand that's how they work together, you listen to the internet, that's how they work together, then it is easier to conquer or to deal with the effects of sin. Are you seeing this? So tonight we're going to talk about the body, because we have a misconception where we try to beat the body into subjection. You know, we beat it and we condemn it and we bind it. And, you know, we do all sorts of things trying to bring our bodies under subjection. We fast it with it, you know, we try to break it down. And the very first thing you have to understand about your body is that God gave it to you. You listen to everything that God gave you, your body. So your body is a good thing. That's the first thing you have to realize. You better love your body, because your body gives you the right to be here. Your physical body is the only thing that gives you a right to be here right now. When you don't have a physical body, you no longer have a right to be in this earth realm. Are you seeing this? So we have to understand that God gave us our bodies, and that our bodies are a good thing. It's not this thing that is my enemy. It only becomes your enemy if you allow it to stop being a slave. When your body stops being, go to 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians 6 chapter. When your body stops being a slave, that's when it becomes your enemy. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your, what it says? Body. And in your spirit, which are God's. So if your body was evil, then why God want it? See, we have to get this understanding that my body is a slave, and a slave has no other choice but to do what his master telling it to do. So if the master tell a slave to be good, the body gonna have to be good. Is this making sense? There's no way around your body. There's no way around it. You can't ignore it. You can't diminish it. You definitely can't get rid of it. So you might as well use it. Your body was created to house the presence of God. Go to Genesis, the first chapter. Watch this. Genesis, the first chapter.
Your bodies were created to house the presence of God. Genesis, let me go to the second chapter. I want to see something. I want to see some specific that he did. Let's see. Let me see where he did it at. All right. Chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Those that are watching by internet. And watch this. Here it is. God says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. You see this? And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Another translation, the original Hebrew of this particular verse actually says that man became a speaking spirit. So actually God breathed into the dust that he formed from the ground, and that dust now housed the presence of God because man became a speaking spirit. Are you seeing this? So you have to begin to see your body not as an enemy, but as a tool that houses the presence of God. Because the only reason why God can get access to the earth realm is because man gives him access because we have a body. Jesus couldn't die on the cross until the Word became flesh. Go to John. We're going to read it. John, the first chapter. If the Word had not become flesh, then it would have been illegal for Jesus to do what he did. Talk about your bodies. Because we spend so much time, trying to beat the body, trying to beat it, trying to deny it, trying to do this, trying to control it. And it's because we've been doing it backwards. Because when the king is in his place and the servant is in his place and the slave is in his place, everything works together. If your king, if your spirit is running everything, your spirit is going to give your mind instructions, and your mind is going to tell your body what to do. Right now, you can tell your body, you can raise your right hand. You know what just happened? The servant just told a slave what to do. In your mind, you process, raise your right hand. You raise it. The servant told the slave what to do. But what's been happening, what the sin nature did when Adam and Eve ate off that tree, what happened is everything got out of whack. So the slave became the king. And so we became ruled by our feelings. Are you seeing this? And so now, instead of us allowing to get everything rearranged in order, we have been on our own trying to subdue the slave. When it's not the servant going to subdue, the servant can't subdue the slave because the servant don't know what to do. This is why the mind has to be renewed. See, when the mind is renewed, then the servant can tell the slave what to do. So it's not the servant trying to tell the slave what to do without no instructions. It's the spirit giving the servant instructions and the servant now giving the slave instructions. And so now the body becomes good because it's in its place. So now you don't have to be beating your body up. You don't have to be, you know, thinking your body in a negative way and scared of sin nature. See, most people, most Christians are sin nature conscious. They're just sin conscious. Instead of them living for God, they're trying to live not for the devil. Is that making sense? Instead of living for God, they're trying to live not for the devil, trying not to live for the devil. I hope it's making sense. So here it is, God the Father breathed into the nostrils of man. He just had formed the dust from the ground, that's our bodies, and he breathed into man. When he breathed into man, that means the body became a container for the presence of God. Listen to what I'm saying. Your body is a container for the presence of God. Not your mind. Your body is a container for the presence of God. God designed our bodies for everything we need to do on this earth. God loves our bodies. This is one of the reasons why Jesus died and had 35 stripes on his back. I think 35 stripes on the back. I think it's worth 35 stripes on his back. Because he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace upon him with his stripes. If the body wasn't important, why did he die for our healing? Why ain't it that the sickness just rampage in our body? Because we need our bodies to contain the presence of God. So what I'm saying, I want us to stop looking at our bodies as an enemy and see it and put it in its proper perspective. Our body is only simply here to house the presence of God. The body ain't got no other business but to house the presence of God. Are you seeing this? So if the body is to house the presence of God, then the body has some use. So I don't have to see my body as an enemy. I see it as a tool. Listen, our bodies are amazingly crafted. And in Psalms, I think it is Psalm 139. Turn there. I like that scripture. Psalms 139. It says how beautifully and wonderfully we are made. Psalms 139, I think it's verses 13, verse 14. This is David talking. He said, I will praise thee for I am fearfully, Psalms 139, verse 14. I will praise thee for I am fearfully, respectfully, and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He says, my substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in all thy books are my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Other words, what David is saying that our spirits was there watching God make our bodies. Our spirit was there watching God make our house. And the reason why healing can take place in our body is because your spirit was sitting right next to God seeing how he created it. So it's easy to receive healing. Because the Christ is on the inside of you knows and reminds you how your body's supposed to function. Are you seeing this? So here it is. God went through all of this for our bodies. So why would God go all through all this for our bodies and then we discredit our bodies? Why then don't give God credit? Every last one of us has a unique DNA. None of our DNA is the same. That means God created all of us different for a reason. Did you imagine the difficulty of that? Out of all the people in the world, there's nobody with DNA like you. There's nobody that has the genetic makeup you have. God did that specifically because he wants you to house his presence in a unique way. He wants you to house his presence the only way, only you know how to house it. He don't want you housed like somebody else. If he wants you to house like somebody, he made you like somebody else. But he made you unique. He says our bodies are one fearfully. I love it. Fearfully. God did it with God. I think a lot of times we read the scriptures, we don't realize how he formed man from the dust of the ground. That's just, it just seemed like God just swooped us up. But that ain't what happened. It's like God imagined how he wanted man to be and begin to shape man. Begin to shape the heart. Begin to shape her heart. Begin to shape how the lungs were going to work. Begin to shape how many times the heart was supposed to beat in a minute. Was supposed to, was shaping your voluntary and your involuntary actions. You know, you blinking, that's involuntary. That just happens. You don't have to remind yourself to blink. You just blink. God has, why? Because he needs tear ducts. He needs your eyes. God designed all that. And here we are trying to beat the thing down that God designed. Discrediting it. Are you seeing this? There is nobody like you. This is why you need to value who you are. God never told us not to think highly of ourselves. He said not to think highly of ourselves than we should. He never told us not to think highly of ourselves. He said don't think more highly of yourself than you should. See, because you're unique. God, you were uniquely created. Your body was uniquely created to house the presence of God. I know I'm repeating myself because a lot of times we hold ourselves back from doing what God wants us to do because we feel we still have sin consciousness. And because of that sin consciousness, now the slaves become the servant and begin to tell a mind what it can't do. Remember you did this? Remember you did that? Remember how you used to be? That's your slave reminding your mind, and the spirit is supposed to step up and cancel all that. Go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews 10. Wherefore, verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. Are you seeing that? Other words, God prepared our bodies to house his presence here in the earth realm so that the original purpose is so that we can have a relationship with him and we can have fellowship with him. God was so wanted to create somebody that can love him back. That's why he created man. That's why he breathed in a man's nostril. And that's why he gave him a body. Watch this. Here's what God can do with our bodies. First of all, he will make them supernatural. Wow. He gonna make your body supernatural. Wait a minute, that seems like a paradox. How my flesh gonna become supernatural? How many times have you seen the anointing of God come upon somebody? I mean, Jonah, I mean, my God, he did turn a 3-day journey into a day's journey. Why? Because when he got out that well of that belly, the anointing of God got up on him and he was able to make that journey as fast as anybody could make it. That is the anointing of God coming upon him. His body became supernatural. Jesus' body became supernatural. On the third day, Jesus not only got up in the spirit, Jesus got up in the flesh. And he was so pure, he told him, look, don't nobody touch me yet. I got to go present myself to the Father. What he was going to do. He was going to present a spotless body to the Father. Here it is. Jesus was so concerned about the flesh being without sin that when he got up out of the grave, he said, nobody can't touch me now because I have to go present this body to God spotless as a representation of how all the rest of us are going to be. Is that so? Your body's important. See, here, Satan has done a job on us. Some people just want to focus on the spirit at the expense of their mind and at the expense of their bodies. And so now you're feeling your mind playing tricks on you, feeling guilty because you're sin conscious, and you can't do what God has asked you to do because your body, who's supposed to just shut up and do what you tell it to do, is talking back and you reminding you about what you used to do. Are you seeing this? Every natural thing our body now do in obedience to the Holy Spirit, working with our spirit, causes supernatural effects. Every time you obey God and you do, the children of Israel marching around the wall, that was physical. They weren't spiritually marching around that wall. They were physically marching around that wall. When they physically marched around that wall them seven times, them walls fell inward. So their natural bodies triggered a supernatural effect. Is that making sense? Your body brings heaven into earth. Remember now, you are a container of God's presence. Apostle said this the other day. He said to our congregation, he said, when you lift your hands up, your hands become antennas to God's presence. When you throw your hands up in the air and you begin to worship God, it become antennas. Wait a minute, that's your physical hands going up, praising God and worshiping God. And his glory comes in. That is your natural body housing the presence of God. Are you seeing this? It brings heaven into earth. When the glory of God, and I'm repeating as much as I can, I repeated in the last class, I repeated here, because this is a very important, the most powerful definition that I've heard about the glory of God. We all know it's the manifested presence of God. That's the glory of God. We heard the manifested presence, but yesterday we learned it's three things that the glory is. Is all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do. Us lifting up our physical antennas brings all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do into the natural. Your body does that. Jesus taught us to pray that God's kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your body has something to do with bringing God to the earth. God wants to mix his spirit's nervous system with our nervous system to make them respond not to just to our will, but to respond now to his will in the spirit. How many of you have ever sensed the presence of God? When you sense the presence of God, there's an awness that comes over you. It's hard to explain. A reverential fear that comes in. Do you realize that's your feelings? It has to do with your physical nervous system being touched by the supernatural. You can recognize the presence of God. Jacob woke up out of a dream. Jacob said, surely I know the Lord was in this place, in this certain place. That's his physical body recognizing a supernatural presence. God can use whatever he wants for his glorification. He can use your body. He paid for it. We read that, 1 Corinthians 6:20. He paid for it. So if he paid for it, he can use it like he wants. Are you seeing this? You need to start believing that God can use your body to house his presence, just like Jesus housed his presence in the earth realm. You need to begin to believe that. When the body is plugged into the spirit, the physical body becomes a supernatural conduit of God's power and presence. This is the purpose and potential of God for our bodies, and this should be our pursuit. Now, don't get it twisted. Now, the body is strange. The body is strange. We got desires. It's three basic desires that our flesh wants: food, sex, and comfort. Guess where those desires came from? Those desires came from God. But when Adam and Eve didn't go to God for the information and experience they needed to handle the bodies they had, those desires became uncontrollable, because we by ourselves were never designed to control those desires. Our spirits were always designed to control those desires. Are you seeing this? So this is why sin runs prevalent, because you have people trying to control desires with an instrument that wasn't designed to control it. The body can't control itself. It is a slave. A body will cave into itself. Know how I know? Because we can't keep up with diets. Sooner we decide to go on a diet, we rely on our body. You see that chocolate cake? You know you ain't supposed to have it, but that body say you want it. Your mind finally say, yes, you do. Are you seeing this? See, those desires were never designed to be controlled by the body. The body was supposed to experience those desires and express those desires, but the body was never created to control those desires. And so sin runs rampant because we are trying to control those desires with a slave, when it's always supposed to be our spirit that is renewing our servant that controls those desires. Is that making sense? Our bodies scream for these things from the time we are born to the time we die. These desires are strong and can be raging overpower at times if we let them get that way. Watch this now. God actually created them to be strong. If we did not have these desires, we would not want to live on the earth. That's one of the reasons, those desires are one of the reasons why we want to be here. If we didn't want any kind of comfort, we would end up abusing our bodies and ending our lives early, because we would violate physical laws that require rest, proper posture, taking care of our body, and so on and so forth. If we never wanted sex, the human race would never procreate. It was stopped with one generation. And now the will of God can't be accomplished. When God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, that was not just talking about having more kids, but it included that. He was actually telling them, I want you to understand what I'm doing here in the Garden of Eden, and I want you to go procreate and teach them what I'm about to teach you. But they never got a chance to learn the lesson because they ate off the tree. And God say, well, I can't let you stay here in the condition you're in. You have to learn how to put the body in its place. If you can never learn to put the body in its place as a slave, you will never have a problem with those desires. See, we have what's called appetites. Appetites. Appetites is what drives our desires. And see, this is why pornography is so detrimental to people, because it creates an appetite for something that we shouldn't have. Are you seeing this? So, and it's no different than an appetite. Some people have issue with food. Some people have issue with hoarding things. Some people, they have appetites that they cannot control. Because once again, your body was never meant to control its desires. The master or the servant was supposed to control the desires, because the servant is getting direction from where? Your spirit, the king. Are you seeing this? So we have to put our bodies in a place. Listen, these desires are necessary. You can't get rid of these desires. You can't tell the Lord to take the desires away from you, because when the Lord give you something, he ain't taking it away. The Lord is, he's not the Lord that giveth and taketh away. He's the Lord that giveth and is yours. Now, our bodies, when it's not put in place, will try to use these desires to pull our souls and spirits out of control. See, you have people that are food, any addict of any kind, whether it's drug, food, sex, whatever addict, all that's happening to them is they have allowed their physical body to become king. And I'm going to tell you, without the power of God, it is hell trying to get it back to be a slave. Because once those feelings start controlling that soul and start dictating to the soul what it, your feelings are a beast. If you don't get your feelings, if you don't understand that your feelings, watch this. We said this last week. Your thoughts produce your feelings. Your feelings cause you to act. Your actions bring definite results. What you have to know about your feelings is that your feelings are nothing more than indicators. They're indicators. They're not decision makers. They're not destiny finders. They're only indicators. However you feel is only indicating to you something. It indicates to you something. For instance, if your left leg hurting, all it's telling you is that something ain't right about your left leg. It's an indicator. If you mad and you angry, all your feeling is telling you is, hey, you need to get yourself together, because you about to do something crazy. Your feelings are indicators. But what has happened is we've allowed our feelings to become decision makers. You cannot let your feelings become decisions. You must let your feelings remain indicators. See, that's what happens with drug addicts. Drug addicts, those who are hooked on drugs, it's a damnable spirit. Because what happens is that body becomes king. And every time they say they're not going to do it again, that body said, I want this indicator. I want to feel this way. So when it feels this way and your body has to go through withdrawals, your body don't want to go through the withdrawals, because the body wants to be king. It don't want to be a slave. It won't be in control. It causes them to keep repeating. That's what you call addiction. Because the body has become king instead of us putting it in its place. The reason why sin runs rampant is because our bodies were never designed to be king. Our body was only designed to contain the presence of God. It was never designed to be a king. So when you let somebody who not designed to be king, guess what you're about to have? You're about to have chaos. I mean, you get in there and you let a medical doctor design a building, and he wasn't trained to design a building. You about to get a mess. But then again, you let the architect come try to operate. Wasn't trained, wasn't designed to do those things. So you about to get chaos. So whenever a slave tries to be a king, you're going to get chaos and disorder and disarray. Our bodies does not know how to live. It only has desires. Your body has one, one goal to fulfill desires of food, sex, and comfort. That's it. It don't know how to live. And if it becomes king, its number one goal is to go, is to fulfill those desires. Almost finished. Your body does not have inherent wisdom for living. The body has no conscience. Your body does not see a wedding ring to avoid the consequences of adultery. It does not see the heart attack that comes from a lifetime of eating hamburgers. Why? We just talked about that. When you see that chocolate cake, your body say, I want the chocolate cake. Sugar running 8,900. I want the cake. That's all your body knows. So now it takes a king to renew the soul so the soul can tell the body, watch this, literally, turn away from the cake. Put the fork down. It's funny, but that's how your body works. Your body ain't thinking about your sugar being 900. It ain't thinking about you ain't supposed to have chocolate cake. The cake say I want the body say I want the cake. Our body's desires cause them to become stupid when they take control. All right. It behooves me how men and women work so hard to get to a certain place in life, a certain stature in life, and they throw it all away for some sexual impropriety. This is repetitive. I mean, it ain't nothing new under the sun. I mean, this happens every week. You hear about somebody else. What? You would figure that somebody would learn from somebody else. But the issue is not learning from somebody else. The issue is when the body becomes king, our body's number one goal is to satisfy all its desires. That's his number one goal. We must know our body's place in God's design order. See, this is important because a lot of times, because we don't understand how we're made, we get tripped up and don't know why we're being tripped up. But if we understand how we are made and we understand what part goes where, what part is controlling what part, then we're able to deal with the sin that is around us. Because we're able to go to Luke 21. I think, yes, 21. Chapter 21. Luke 21. Watch this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Luke 21:19. What it says, in your what? Patience possess ye your soul. Now, wait a minute. It says, in your patience possess your soul. So, something has to be there to possess my soul. If I don't recognize that my spirit is king, is the dominant one, then there's nothing to possess my soul. So if there's nothing to possess my soul, now my soul and body is fighting for lead. And on any given day, either one of them might be in control. And I'm going to have chaos in my life. When your spirit is in control, it gives you a chance to, when you know how you're made, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. When you understand that, you can understand that your spirit, especially when you're constantly renewing your mind, you're taking the Word of God and renewing your mind, you're able to make conscious decisions. Your conscience is able to smote you when you're about to make a mistake. Your conscience can warn you. You're not, the Bible, Paul talks about having a seared conscience. Other words, you're not, thank you, ma'am, you're not oblivious to what's going on around you. You're not fooled. You don't have to go around, well, what's happening to me? No, you know, if I got desires that are out of control, I can, especially if you're in this class tonight, you can walk in here and know that I've consciously, look, my body is now trying to be king. I got to put it back in its place. If we do not diligently and carefully control our body's desires according to God's design, we will come into God's and life's judgments. On the other hand, if we fulfill them according to God's design, we will be greatly blessed with no regrets. Next week, we'll begin to talk about, when I talk about this, I talk about this in a very non-world system way. Next week we're going to talk about taking care of our bodies, but it ain't going to be what you think it is. It ain't about you going join CrossFit. That ain't what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is learning to lead the leading of the Holy Spirit, to know that when you're over indulging in something, when you know you're eating too much fried chicken, and the Holy Spirit tell you you're eating too much fried chicken, and you ignore that. And now all of a sudden you say, God, I need you to heal me. God said, I healed you way 6 months ago when I told you to stop eating that chicken. You see what I'm saying? Because see, we all come in all shapes and sizes. We all not going to be the same shape and size. So that's not the issue. The issue is trying to be the best physically that we can be so we can house the presence of God. So next week we'll talk about that. And so I'm not talking about the world system way, because the world system had a tendency to condemn you. If you don't exercise a certain amount of time a week, if you don't eat everything they want you to eat, I mean, shoot, you can't listen to them no way. Because they were just talking about how chocolate is good for you. You know, then they talking about how red wine good for you. And then this, now all of a sudden, eggs ain't good for you no more. You know, milk ain't good for you no more. So you got to follow the Holy Spirit. Y'all have a good night.